Let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you give us ears to hear today so that we can be encouraged and convicted by your word that will draw us closer to you, God, that will give us revelation of a deeper knowledge of who we are in you, Jesus. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit's at work today in all of us. So we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we continue in John's Gospel, chapter 4. Last week, Cheyenne did a great job preaching about the encounter at the well with Jesus, with a Samaritan woman. We're going to continue that today. This is this beautiful, intentional encounter by Jesus crossed cultural divides. Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, and rabbis did not talk to women in public, much less a Gentile woman. Yet, our Lord knew her heart and began to minister to her. The love of God sees so much deeper than our sin and our past. Jesus offers this woman salvation first, then tells her he knows that she's been divorced 5 times and is currently living with her boyfriend. This is grace and love. God knows he can turn our mess into his message. He can take the broken, heal us, and repair us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit, and we become his mouthpiece of victory in Jesus Christ. Saved and redeemed by the blood, the disciples of Jesus Christ shine brightly in this dark world. I thank God for my salvation and the life that he has given me. This woman at the well is equally grateful. Even though she has not fully understood what has happened to her, we will see today that she evangelizes what she knows to the very people who shunned her. So I'm going to backtrack a bit in case you weren't here, you're not familiar with the story. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Galilee, and they go through Samaria on purpose. Samaria is filled with, to put it simply, half-breeds, right? They're part Jewish, part Gentile. And the full-blood Jews and the mixed blood Jews hated each other. So much so that the Jews would walk around Samaria to go to Galilee or wherever they had to go. So there was a massive hatred, a cultural divide, and Jesus purposely goes straight through. When they get to this well in Samaria, Jesus' disciples are like, hey, we're going to go get something to eat. We know we're all hungry. We know you're hungry. We're going to go get food. And then Jesus encounters this woman who comes to the well at high noon. Usually people got water in the mornings or in the afternoons, but this woman came at high noon, probably to avoid anybody else, so she could just get her water and go. Well, Jesus begins to minister to her, to talk to her, and he offers her his salvation in explaining that, hey, if you would, you know, can I have some water? She's like, the conversation starts out kind of aggressive. He's like, can I get some of your water? And she's like, why are you asking me? You're a Jew. You know what I mean? Why are you talking to me? And he just begins to talk to her about living water. And hey, if you knew who you were talking to, the water that I give you is living water. And not only will this water sustain you and always quench that spiritual thirst that every human has to be right with God, to connect with God. You'll never thirst again, but it'll be a fountain coming out of you. It's so good. My salvation is so good that it will come out of you, change your life, and then change those around you. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he's saying. And then she said, you know, then she switches the conversation to, well, you know, you Jews, you worship in the synagogue, we worship on this mountain, and let's talk about that. Who's right? And he's like, I'm telling you what. There has come a day, and it is today, where my Father, who is spirit, seeks people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He basically is telling her, now my Father will put his spirit into his people, and it will not matter about a building. It will not matter about a destination. My Father's worshipers are the worshipers of God will worship him in spirit and in truth. The law of God will be written on their hearts, not on stone. And their fellowship will be wherever they are. So he's giving this revelation to this woman. And I'll start with verse 25 of chapter 4. At the very tail end of their conversation, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. So we see, because Samaritan studied the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of what we call the Old Testament, okay? They rejected the prophetical writings, all their oral laws, and they only studied the Pentateuch. But so she knows, she's waiting for the Messiah. Just like the full-blooded Jews, the Samaritans are waiting for the Messiah. And she meets God in the flesh in this moment because Jesus says, I am he. So if you ever run into any, you know, anybody preaching like saying Jesus never said he was God, you can say, yes, he did. Because he does right here very blatantly, I am he. I am the Messiah. I am the one speaking to you. I'm he. So verse 27. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking to a woman, right? A rabbi talking to a woman in public. No. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? So we see the providence of God here, okay? This is the sovereignty and the providence of God. All the disciples went to go get food. Had they come back any earlier, or had one of them stayed to watch over Jesus, the conversation wouldn't have gone the same with this woman. The providence of God, all of them left, and at the very tail end of Jesus ministering to this woman, they come back just then. And they show up and they see him talking to a woman, and they're learning because they're like, whoa, Jesus is talking to a woman, but nobody said anything. Nobody had any stupid questions for Jesus. And I know that we tend to do that as his kids, just as they do. And I'm so glad that they've logged it in history for us. So we know that they're not perfect. But at this moment, they knew not to say anything to Jesus. Because why? Because Jesus always knows what he's doing. Even when it crosses cultural boundaries, God will always surprise us. Never put him in a box. Amen? God will do what he wants, when he wants, with who he wants, and he'll save whomever he wants. He's got a plan, and I love that about him. Verse 28 through 30. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? So they came out of town and they made their way towards him. I love this. First of all, she shows up. Think about how she showed up to the well. miserable, like you just always, isn't it, don't you remember? Or maybe you showed up today and those things, your life, your past, they keep coming up and plaguing you and plaguing you and plaguing you. And it's all the things that you think about, and the people of her city are shunning her. She's been divorced 5 times. She's living with her boyfriend now. This, you know, people are looked down on that. They're like, oh yeah, your picker's wrong, girl. You know, what do you got going on? You know, you're on your 6th relationship right now. You know, all that, all the guilt and the shame from the, what do you call it? The people who just want to judge. The soapbox people. And she's showing up defeated, right? She's showing up midday. She has this encounter with Jesus. One touch from Jesus, right? Who does expose her sin, because when we come to Christ, our sin nature is exposed by the light, but it's backed up with forgiveness, not condemnation. He offers her salvation, and his presence and his words exposes her sin, but not in a condemning way. It's encouraging because she feels forgiven. She feels the forgiveness that we feel when we come to Christ. Our past no longer has the weight that she carried when she carried that jar to the well. And now she's had an experience with God. She leaves the jar for a couple reasons probably. One, she doesn't care about it anymore. Or maybe that's just going to weigh me down. I got to go tell somebody. I got to go tell somebody what's happened. I don't really understand all that's happened to me, but I know that I have just had an encounter with Messiah. So she leaves the water and she runs back to town. This is the other beautiful thing. She begins to evangelize to her people. And all that she says is, come and see. She says, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Simple. And look, Jesus didn't tell her everything that she did. He just talked about the stuff that plagued her the most. The stuff that was weighing her down. 5 marriages. 5 divorces. Now I'm living with my boyfriend and he's crazy. All the things. This is real. Real life. Real people. Real. Walking with God. Salvation can be messy. Amen. Your pastor is a witness of his own life. So she goes back and she says, come and see. Come and see the man who told me everything that I did. And then she says, could this be the Messiah? See, I believe she's tactfully ministering, right? Because she's got a reputation. You're going to go back to the places you came from, including your family members, and they're still going to see you as the same person that, you know, especially if you're new to Christianity, you're new to recovery. Everybody's still like, yeah, right, we'll see. So she goes back and she's on fire. But she uses tact and she doesn't shove down anything, anybody's throat. She's like, look, this is who Jesus is. Come and see for yourself. Could this be the Messiah? I don't know. Come and see. Right? Because there might not be value held in her testimony right now. She understands that at least. So she's very tactful in the way that she does it. Well, it worked because they came out of town and they made their way towards Jesus. That simple testimony. What does this tell us, church? That your testimony, she didn't quote scripture. Even though it's good to know it, you know, it's good to have it right here in the heart. I'm not, but people need your story. It's as simple as you want to put it. I was like this, I met Jesus, and now I'm like this. Right? Praise God. I was lost and dysfunctional emotionally. I'll just talk about me right now. I was lost and I was just bankrupt and dysfunctional emotionally, relationally, spiritually. And God saw me. I met Jesus. He looked through all the creepy things that I did, all the people that I've hurt, all the lies, all the cheating, all the things that brought me utter shame so bad that I tried to numb it with drugs and alcohol. I tried to numb it with women, money, all the things we do. The things of this world I tried to numb it with and couldn't fill that hole. But God, Jesus saw through my stuff, my garbage, if you will. And he ministered to me. And he loved me. So I was like this. Now I'm like this, and I'm grateful because he's faithful to finish the work that he started in you. He ain't done yet with you. Right? Hallelujah. So we're not like we used to be, but we're not like we're gonna be, baby, because someday I'm gonna be in a glorified body. Hallelujah. Someday we're all gonna be in that spot of glory where there is no more sin. Like there's no more sickness, sadness, sin. Doesn't even exist. The presence of it is gone. Presence of it is gone. This is our great hope. And so my point is this. Your story, it may be simple. Perfect. Simpler the better. And because here's the thing. This woman who just met Jesus, when she spoke, the Holy Spirit's at work. Come and see. With the power of the Holy Spirit behind her words, illuminating the words to the minds and illuminating the minds of the hearers to where it was like, okay, let's go. I believe you. Let's go. So the Holy Spirit is guiding your, and look, don't even try to talk in the King James, okay? Oh, art thou sinner. Just talk like you. That's it. That's what's so beautiful about the good news. Because when it's coming from you, it's simple. It's understandable. You just talk about what you know. You might not know all of it, right? She didn't know the doctrine of sanctification and the doctrine of regeneration, and she didn't have a degree. She just spoke about what she knew. And the power of God behind those words drew those people out to Jesus. You can do the same thing, church. Your pulpit is everywhere your foot treads. Do you know that? Everywhere your foot treads, and you do it just like you. Don't do it like me. Don't do it like Paul the apostle. Do it like you. Because God has put people in your path to share the good news of what God has done in your life with the people that he sends in your path. And they need to hear your words. The power of God will be behind it. Amen. Just want to encourage you in that. I love this history that God has left us with of the simple, that he uses simple people, regular people, to do extraordinary things. So now the people who heard the simple testimony are coming to meet Jesus, right? So here's three non-negotiable truths that we see from this text that we're studying today. One, salvation comes to those who recognize their desperate need for spiritual life that they do not have. The spiritual life comes to the spiritual thirsty. Excuse me. Number two, salvation comes to those who confess, repent, and acknowledge their sin. She did that. Number three, salvation comes to those who embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and sin bearer. She recognized he was Messiah. All that means that that woman was born again in that moment. She was born again and she had gone to evangelize to the city. So verse 31 and 32. While she ran back to the city, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." So the disciples were like, "Jesus, we went to In-N-Out. I got you a double-double animal style, man. Eat." And he says something very profound here. Because the I and the you, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Jesus is perfect in being intentional with purpose. He knows the why of his purpose on planet Earth. You see, we learn from our Lord and Savior. We learn our why we are here in this generation. It is not to work 40 hours a week and pay bills, even though we need to do that, right? We need to be good stewards, provide for our family, be generous to others in need. But our purpose is to glorify God. Our purpose is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world in the sphere of influence that surrounds us. But Jesus is, he's laser focused here, and we'll see in verse 33 and 34. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? So they're still not getting it, right? My food, Jesus, says Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. They're like, could somebody have brought him Chick-fil-A? He's like, you guys, I'm talking about spiritual food here. My food is to do the will of God who sent me here and finish his work. He's laser focused on the mission. Jesus is thinking vertically, not horizontally. He's in the horizontal. He is on earth in the physical, but he's thinking vertically constantly. This is another thing you and I can take away from our Lord and Savior, is that we do life. We do life out there in the world with the saved and the unsaved. We don't know who's got the elect on their back, the E for elect, and who doesn't. That's why we treat everybody the same. And we walk through life, doing life, our work day, at 7-Eleven, at the grocery store, our families, thinking vertically. Everything that I do, everything that I say has an effect. Does it glorify God? Lord, you are with me. You live in me. Being conscious of that, thinking vertically in those moments. Because God will open up doors for us. And if we're not paying attention, we won't capitalize on that. Again, we're going to see that pleasing God, like actually knowing we have just done his will. Like if you've ever led somebody to Jesus, you've seen their life change. It's like, oh, I know why I'm here. He did it, but he used you. You know, he used you to just, you know, change somebody's day. You know, by your words, by your kindness, by your truth, speaking truth into somebody's life. It comes out of the word, but you're speaking it the way you speak it. And they go, wow, I needed that. That you realize that this is my purpose. This is why I'm here. It's so gratifying. It so fills you up. That's what he means by rivers, the fountains of water coming out of us. We're not thirsty. We're not spiritually thirsty. We're not spiritually hungry. We're walking in the spirit, baby. Our minds have been renewed by the word. We got the truth in our heart. We got ammo. We got the full armor of God, as DJ likes to share all the time, on every day. And we're rolling, vertically thinking about a horizontal life. This is what Jesus shows us. Beautiful. It's encouraging and convicting at the same time, right? That's what the word does. So I wanted to share a scripture out of Deuteronomy 8:3. It's Moses talking to the Israelites. He, God, humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you or your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God has been teaching his people to trust him forever, since the beginning, that the word of God is truly the spiritual bread that will sustain us, that he actually brought them in through the wilderness on purpose, right? Causing them to be hungry so he could feed them. God will meet our needs. It may not be everything that we want, but he will meet our needs so we can stay vertically focused and know things might be lean right now, but God, you promised me you would take care of me. And I don't live on my bank account, my the comforts that I have. I live on your word. I live by the word that has proceeded from your mouth, Lord. That's who you're my provider. I appreciate, Lord, the way you've blessed my life, but you're the blesser. I don't put my faith in my stuff. I put my faith in you. And he will take us through these seasons to teach us that. I was just talking about it this morning. You learn in the valley what you can't learn on the mountaintop. God exposes himself and he builds our faith. And it's not like he's a mean kid with a magnifying glass, like burning ants with your life. But he does allow us to go into the valley so that we can see that he is faithful. He allows us to go through things, church, because he's a good father. And he wants us to build our faith through pain and frustration that the wilderness brings, so we can see the faithfulness of God show up again, because he's faithful. So when we're on the mountaintops, we're grateful, not prideful. Amen. And ministry is so satisfying to the soul. Jesus knows the value of sowing and reaping. And he shares with his disciples in verse 35 and 36. Excuse me. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvest a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Jesus is dropping spiritual bombs right now. He's saying, open your eyes. There is a desperate, hope-needed world out there, and they're ready. They're ready. They're ready to be harvested. You guys, he's talking to the disciples in the specific moment. And he's saying, just lift up your eyes and look. There might have been, you know, wheat fields around them as he was telling them this, but he's speaking about a lost and dying world. You know, we have been put in a very interesting generation where so much is available, information is available. But that information brings forth fear, anxiety. You know, I mean, some of it doesn't if it's about a vacuum or something like that, but a lot of it's political, religious, just fear, fear, anger, fear, divide, fear, you know, anger, anger, anger. It all comes with an agenda. And if you'll notice, it even tempts you to feel a certain way about your brother and sister. And I mean like, not your brother and sister in Christ, just a God's creation, one who has been made in the image of God. He made us all. And it causes us to think skewed thoughts about our fellow human beings on this planet. And it takes us off. See, it distracts the mind from the truth. The truth is, those very ones that the internet's trying to get you to be mad at, they need Jesus. They just need forgiveness and love. They need to have an experience with the living God. And the harvest is ripe. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 8, Paul says this, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. There is a wonderful promise, because I was talking how cool it is to lead somebody to Christ. To see that, you're harvesting somebody else's labor, right? Somebody else sowed into that person. So when we share our faith and somebody goes, nah, you Jesus freak, you know, whatever. But they're like, no thanks. You don't know if you just planted a seed. You don't know if you just watered a seed. There's no reason to feel bad about yourself. The point is you're being you. You're sharing what you know. And whether they accept that or not is none of your business. It's not on you. You don't give the increase. That should make you go, oh, good. It does me. Thank God it's not up to me. It's up to him. So whether you sow a seed, like, because the sowers of the seed usually don't get to see the harvest. So we don't get to see that until later. But that's what he's saying. Rejoice in your heart. If you share your faith with somebody and they go, nah, okay, still love you, still, you know, we're good, we're cool. I'm still me, you're still you, cool. I pray that that seed was planted or maybe watered, that somebody else down the road can reap. That's one of the things I pray for my kids is God, bring somebody their own age into their life. You know, to minister your gospel. I've planted seeds and I water them every time I can with Slater and Gibson. I'm so glad Ricky Ray's here. Yay, see, it works. It's my oldest. She's on fire. But yeah, thank you, Jesus, right? So So we keep praying, we keep sowing, we keep watering, we keep loving. Right? It's not up to us. It's up to Him. And He will have His way. Hallelujah. So verse 37 and 38, He explains now. Thus the saying, one sows and one reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Jesus is talking to the disciples about people like Moses, the Old Testament writers and prophets, John the Baptist, and even Jesus, sowing seed, watering seed for these disciples to come in and begin to share their faith and just start low-hanging fruit is what we call it. Just start harvesting the fruit of salvation with the work that's been done. In verse 39 and 40, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. That simple testimony. This is the way I was. He told me everything I did. But it didn't come with condemnation. It came with forgiveness. Come and see. Could this be the Messiah? I don't know. Come and see. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of her testimony. That's beautiful. So when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed 2 days. Jesus didn't just show up and split. These people hated each other. Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. Salvation brings, gets rid of the hate and brings the two together. You know, it's an oxymoron to be prejudiced against anybody and be a Christian. You can't be a racist and a Christian. You just can't. It's an oxymoron. These people are like, Jesus, come and stay. All we know is that we love you. All we know is that we're connected. All we know is you have the words of life and that connects us. And He stayed with them. And He taught them. Verse 41 and 42. And because of His words, the words of Jesus, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. So we see the progression. We share our faith simply to the people around us. We say, come and see His place. You'll love it. And we let God, through His word, do the rest. God, through His word, exposes our sin. God, through His word, assures us that there's forgiveness, not condemnation. God, through His word, heals those broken places in our life. And God, through His word and His Holy Spirit in us, empowers us to then turn around and share. Come and see. Come and see. They came, we'll just call that well, where they came out of the city, that well was church. They had church at that well. They walked back into the city together, and Jesus taught them more about who He is, about who they are in Christ, and that town went into revival. That town got saved because of one woman meeting with Jesus and going back and just sharing what she knew. Church, this is our call. No pressure. I know what you're feeling, but there's no pressure. Just be you. What do you know about Jesus? What has he done for your life? Share it. God is good. Come and see. The people of his place are loving and accepting. Come and see. They're all people from all different walks of life that were, they were like this and now they're like this. Come and see. God will do the rest. He's the one that's faithful and brings the increase. Don't pressure yourself with having to try to save anybody. Just plant, water, reap. But it's all for the glory of God. You can, it's promised to you that you will see results of that. Like you'll see the reward of your labor. So when you're planting seeds and it doesn't look like anything, hey, someday I'll rejoice. I'm going to keep praying for them. That God would send another to water. That God would send another to water. That God would send another, you know, until the reaping. But it's okay. Just be you. This woman, just being her. The town of Sychar was on fire for Jesus. Full on revival. Full on blessing. Never going to be the same again. With the love of Christ in their hearts for one another. Amen? Hallelujah. So listen. This beautiful text of salvation. You know, we all come from different walks of life. We're all in different places. And look, just as I preached and I said, it is God who gives the increase. It is God who regenerates the heart. It is God is the one who saves and brings spiritual death into spiritual life. But I know that it's this woman surrendered to Jesus, and that's literally like our part is believing Jesus is who he says he is. And so we pray in this church. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the God you're surrendering to that does. We always offer salvation at this church. The foot of the cross is level. All who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus said. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've prayed the prayer before, but you know your life is not, you haven't been walking with him straight up. God convicted you today. I want you to rededicate your heart and your life to him. We always give that opportunity. There's always forgiveness in Jesus Christ, not condemnation. He says, come to me today. So if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and we'll pray together. Amen. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, church, let's pray this prayer together. It's a prayer of faith. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, cleanse me and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah. God, shine your face upon your people, Lord. I thank you for these beautiful children of God that you call your church. Lord, freshly anoint them today to share their faith just the way they are, that they would just be themselves out there. But I thank you for making them such a bright light, such a flavor of salt to this world that it is, you are irresistible. So Father, thank you for empowering us. Thank you for your beautiful people. Bless them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.